Welcome to the Akigawa Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We hope this resource will help you in your walk with Jesus as you grow more and more into His image. For more information about Akigawa Baptist Church, please visit akigawabc.com. Now, enjoy the sermon.
Here's a question for you before we begin. This is the question. Have you ever thought about how you and I learn? Learning is a very interesting thing because it's something that we always constantly do. And I was reminded again of it recently because we started doing a Zoom Bible study here at our church family where we use Zoom to just kind of study the Bible, just ask questions and different things like that. But I had never used Zoom before, so I literally knew nothing about it. So I asked some people who had used it. I asked Bethany, my wife, she uses it. So I asked her, hey, babe, how do I use this thing? I don't get this, you know? And so she showed me how to use it. And I watched a bunch of YouTube videos of people watching it and learned how to use something in my life. And you probably did something like that maybe. Maybe think about something you've learned recently, right? It's amazing how we learn. And one of the ways that probably one of the best ways that you and I learn something is by watching somebody else, watching them show us how to use it. That's a very easy way and a very good way for us to learn, isn't it? And it's also true for us as Christians too, if you think about it. If I want to grow in a certain area of my life, like I want to be a better dad, or I want to be a more loving husband to my wife, or if I want to maybe like grow in a certain character, a certain aspect of my life, I want to learn more about how to encourage another brother or sister, I want to learn more about how to be more humble, or I want to learn more about how to have a giving spirit. All these things, usually the best way that I can learn these things is by spending time with people in whom I see those characteristics, that aspect of God's grace flowing really, really well in that person's life. If I want to learn how to be humble, I'll go spend time with somebody who's humble. If I want to learn how to give more, how to have that giving, like that giving attitude, I will spend time with those who I see giving well. And some of that rubs off on me after a while. And I learned that. That's kind of how I really learn how to grow. And I think it's the same for us, all of us as Christians. We grow and we learn by spending time, by watching those around us in how they grow. And it's really cool how God does this, how God creates this church family. There are so many different ways in which God's grace flows through our church family. God's grace doesn't flow and like the visible aspects of God's grace shows up uniquely in each of us, as each member of us as a church family, right? And so it helps us to challenge one another, to motivate one another in the different areas of grace that God has given to each of us. And by doing that, it helps us to learn from one another. It helps us to keep our focus on where it needs to be. It helps us to challenge one another to abide in Jesus. And it helps us to discover all different kinds of ways that we can serve one another. And so Paul, in our passage today, this is kind of what Paul's going to be reminding us and the church family in Philippi. So like just a quick review, so far in Philippians 1 and 2, he's been reminding the church family in Philippi about the fact that what it means to be citizens of heaven, what it means to live as a part of the kingdom of Jesus, what it means to live as a church family. He's been giving him detailed instructions about how to do that through teamwork, through unity, and through humility. We kind of see this. In fact, jump with me real quick. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse, let's go to Ephesians 2 verses 2 through 4. We're going to look at this real quick, okay? It says this: "Fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. So we see how Paul is teaching us what it means to live a life as a citizen of heaven, live life as a team player, right? So to help him learn these things, what he does is he points them to people. He says, here, these are people that emulate this well. Watch them and learn from them. And the first person Paul points them to is Jesus. Look in the verse 5, the next verse. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He says, if there's one person that you need to be learning from, if there's one person that you need to be focusing on, it is Jesus. That's so amazing. This is what he says. So Jesus literally shows us while he was here what it looks like to have a selfless life. I mean, he literally lived it out. I mean, he was really the one who showed us what it means to have a perfectly selfless life, a perfectly humble life. He showed us what it means to spend time with your Heavenly Father, even in the middle of a busy schedule. He showed us what it means to live a humble life, spending your time serving others. Jesus didn't just tell us how to live life. He showed it to us firsthand. But Jesus didn't come here just to show us. He didn't come here just to be our example. He also came to be our enabler. He came to enable us to live a life that he shows us how to live. This is so important. Jesus gave his life for us on the cross just so that we could be restored in our relationship to God. Everything that Jesus did wasn't just to show us, but it was to enable us. And so if you are not a Christian, if you're watching this and you are not a Christian, your first step, the first step above all other things, is look to Jesus. Why? Because he's the only one that can make this possible. He's the only one that can free you from your sins. He's the only one who can forgive your sins and give you a new heart. He's the only one who can bring you into the family of God. No Christian can do that. No believer can do that. The only one who can do that is Jesus Christ. He is your first step. So look to him. So that's what Paul does. He says, hey guys, look to Jesus. The first thing you do is look to Jesus. And he goes on and explains in beautiful detail how Jesus is our perfect example. But he also gives us bonus people to look at. He points us to people that we already know. Like in the case of the church of Philippi, he gives them two people. Because the church in Philippi is very much like us today. They had never seen Jesus. They had never walked with Jesus, lived life with Jesus. They had never seen how day to day, how Jesus lived out his life. And so what Paul does is he points them to people and says, hey, these are guys that you can watch. These are people that you can learn from physically as you abide with Jesus spiritually. And that's really helpful for us, right? Sometimes we need that physical person to help us to see spiritual truths. Often when Jesus teaches, he uses physical things to describe spiritual realities. And in the same way, we as Christians learn from physical people as they live out spiritual graces of God in their lives, right? And this is very similar to how we play baseball, because we've been doing this theme of baseball, right? Even now today, our theme is like watch and learn, and it has a picture of a guy. He's like, hey, like encouraging a brother. Hey, man, you can do this. Here's what you got to do. And he's encouraging a pitcher, right? And in the same context, you and I, think about this. Like you're in a baseball team and you're watching a baseball player. I think I just dropped something. Whoop, sorry. So if you're in a baseball team and you're watching a baseball player, right? And before the game, the coach comes out and he says, guys, these are the things that you need to be looking out for. And he gives us all kinds of things that we should watch and care for and pay attention to, right? But then you get into the game. And in the middle of the game, you have a bunch of the older players helping out the younger players as they're playing the game. Like maybe the guy in second base, maybe the guy in shortstop is saying, hey, guy on second base, younger player, hey man, scoot over just a few feet so that we can cover all of our area really well. Or the guy in center field tells the guy in left field, hey, come up a little bit closer. This guy doesn't have as much of a hitting range. Or he does all these little brief little pointers that help one another to play the game. The older players kind kind of walk through, kind of show the younger players what the coach is talking about. As what the when the coach taught something, they kind of pointed out. They showed them the little tiny details that helped them to get what the coach had told them from the beginning. And this is literally what Paul does for the church in Philippi. He says, this is what I want you to learn. This is what I want you to understand. And to help you get that, I'm sending some people your way so that you can watch it and learn it. And this is exactly what Paul is talking about. And it's interesting. Think about how, you know, there's something interesting I've learned, I've kind of figured out is, for me, I love it when somebody, instead of saying, let me tell you what to do, instead they say, let me show you what to do. That there's a huge difference there, isn't it? A coach can tell me what to do. This is what you should do. This is what you do. But then when I'm out on the field and I'm playing and a player says, no, this is how you defend for this play. And he shows me what to do. That rather than telling, showing helps us to learn so much more, right? And so here's what Paul does, and this is where we're going to get into our passage. Very interesting passage of scripture. You could think, man, this is, what in the world does this have to do with anything? But as we read it, it'll make sense. It's really cool. Philippians chapter 2, look at verses 19 through 23. This is our theme. This is our passage for today. Philippians 2, 19 through 23 says this. But I trust in the Lord Jesus. I'm just going to read a, We're going to read a verse and I'll talk about it, read another verse and I'll talk about it, read another verse and kind of walk our way through this passage. Okay. So for Philippians 2, 19, he says this, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you and that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. So Paul is going to send two people. The first one is the one we're going to read today, Timothy. The second one is Epaphroditus, which we're going to read about next week. These two guys are the two guys that are going to be showing the Philippian church family what it means to live the life of humility and self-sacrifice that Paul has been teaching up until now. So Paul says this, and this is really interesting. He says, I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you. And he says that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. So here's the question. How did the church know Timothy? How did they know who Timothy was? Well, if you look back in Acts chapter 16, you're going to see that there were four guys who went to Philippi to share the gospel. Those four guys were Paul, Silas, Timothy, and Luke. These four guys went to the city of Philippi to share the gospel. And when they got there, they went to a riverside where they met some ladies who were praying along by the river on the Sabbath. And so they shared the gospel with them. One of the ladies was Lydia and a couple of other ladies. And that's where the church in Philippi was born. Timothy was there when the church in Philippi was born. He had helped them in the early stages to help them in the baby stages of life to begin life as a church family. So the church family knew Timothy really, really well. So let's look at why Paul is sending Timothy. He gives us a couple of hints in this passage for the actual reasons Paul is sending Timothy. And the first reason is kind of subtle. It's really interesting. Like if you had emojis back in the day when the Bible was written, there would be like a couple of winky faces right after this passage because he's saying something really interesting. Look what he says. He says, verse 19, he says, I'm sending Timothy shortly to you that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. So Paul says, I'm sending you Timothy so I can be encouraged when I hear of your situation, when I hear of your state. Well, how is Paul going to be comforted? Why does Paul usually become comforted? The main thing that Paul usually is concerned about is the spiritual state of his church families, right? What would make him most comforted? In seeing and knowing that the church family was getting what he was trying to teach them. He was basically saying, I'm sending Timothy so that I can be encouraged knowing that you are growing and learning the things that I have been trying to share with you. And Timothy is going to make sure that you learn it well, and he's going to help you walk through it. He's going to be the guy that's going to let me know that you guys are getting it, right? That's really interesting. Like winky, winky face, you know, that's really cool. So sending Timothy was a way to help them to really get what it means to have that teamwork mindset, to learn to have that willingness to humbly serve, to love one another, and to have that humility and that unity in spirit. Because, and this is the reason, they would see it firsthand in Timothy. Timothy was one who lived out that kind of life. But here's a question. Why did Paul want to send Timothy? Why not somebody else? Because he's in Rome, right? There are other Christians in Rome that Paul could have sent. Timothy is so special to Paul. Timothy's meeting Paul's needs all the time. Why not send a church, somebody from the church family in Rome? Because there is a church family there. Paul even mentioned it just in chapter 1. Look with me real quick in chapter 1, verses 14 through 16. Because this is what he says. He says that many of the brethren, he's in Rome, and he says, many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, being confident because I'm in prison, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. Paul recognizes, and he's already telling them in the letter, there are brothers and sisters here in Rome. There is a church family here in Rome, and they are sharing the gospel. But he doesn't want to send them. He would rather send Timothy. Why is that? Verse 20 says, in chapter 2, verse 20 says, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Paul recognizes that there is something about Timothy and how Timothy loves the Philippian church family that the people and the brothers and sisters were not doing in Rome. He was not confident that anyone in Rome would be able to care for his church family in Philippi in the way that Timothy could. He was not confident that they would be able to show that self-sacrificing, that humble attitude, that unity in spirit that Paul was trying to show the church family in Philippi. Nobody in Rome fit that description. He says in verse 21, he says, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. And he says the church family here is just a little too self-centered. They're too focused on their own affairs. How could these Roman brothers or sisters show the Philippian church how to be a team player when they themselves are struggling with it, right? And so how could these brothers help them to follow after Jesus when they're having a hard time following after Jesus? And this is another reason why Paul wants to send Timothy, is because of what he knows about Timothy and because of what the church family knows about Timothy. He knows what Timothy is like. He knows the grace that is flowing through Timothy. But also the church family in Philippi know that they can rest and be confident in what Timothy is going to teach them. Look at verse 22. He says this, but ye know the proof of him, Timothy. But ye know the proof of Timothy, that as a son with the father, he has served with me in the gospel. For the Philippian church family, they'd seen it firsthand. From the time that the church family was born, for years they had seen Timothy, and for the time that he was there, they had experienced and seen the humble servant's heart of Timothy when he was with him. They saw firsthand how he served and helped and provided that unity of spirit for them as the church was being born. Since the time that the church was born, about 10 years had passed. And Paul, through that time period, had also seen firsthand how Timothy was watching and learning from him. And he was confident that he could send Timothy so that they could watch and learn from Timothy, just as Timothy had watched and learned from Paul. This is not going to be an easy thing for Paul in letting Timothy go. Because you got to remember, Paul's in prison. He is right there in prison. And he's literally, and you know, if you're in a Roman prison, you have to rely on people to take care of your physical needs, to give you the food, to give you shelter, to take care of whatever needs that you have. And this was what Timothy was for Paul. He was Paul's helper. But he says in verse 23, he says, "Him therefore, Timothy, I hope to send presently, as soon as I shall see how it will go with me." See, Paul's in prison, right? He's waiting for the verdict of the Roman government. Is Paul going to be set free, or is Paul going to be executed for spreading the gospel? He's waiting for that government decision, right? He's waiting for them. So as soon as he finds out what's going to happen, he's going to send Timothy to the Philippian church. And so this kind of is where we see this question of Paul's getting ready to send Timothy. He's going there so that the church can watch and learn from Timothy, just as Timothy had watched and learned from Paul. So what is it that we can learn from this little passage? It's an interesting passage. It's basically a simple itinerary. Here's what I'm going to do, and this is why I'm sending Timothy, right? But there are some very important things that you and I can learn from this little passage. Basically, we can sum it up in two questions. The first question is this: are you watching and learning? Are you watching and learning? Are you growing and learning what it means to be a team player? Are you spending, and here's what it means. Are you spending time with brothers and sisters in Christ? You know, I mentioned earlier, like when we talk about the Christian life, when I see something or when I want to grow in a grace, I try to spend time with a person who is visibly displaying that grace in their lives. Is there somebody like that that you're doing? Are you watching and learning? Are you spending time with a brother or sister in Christ to learn from them, to grow from them? Are you learning what it means to grow in humility? Learning what it means to grow in unity? That teamwork aspect that Paul has been constantly displaying to the church family. What the coach teaches, are you learning it from another brother or sister in Christ? Who are you watching and learning from? Boy, this is a good thought, isn't it? Is there somebody that comes to mind? If not, find somebody. Find somebody that you can grow from. This is so important because literally this is how we live and learn from the Christian life. But there's another question. It's kind of the flip side of that. And that is this: are you showing others? First, it's important to watch and learn, but just as important as it is to watch and learn, it's also important to be one who shows others what it means to live the Christian life. Just as we watch from and learn from those around us, we also have the opportunity and the responsibility to invest in those around us. This is so cool if you think about it. If you have been walking with Jesus for a few years, if you have been growing and abiding in Jesus and learning things, there is going to be somebody who is behind you who needs to watch and learn in walking, learning what it means like to walk in the steps that they are just about ready to take. So if you've been saved for a few years, you have somebody behind you that you can show and walk with. And I know some of you guys are thinking, "Oh, Pastor Steve, no. I don't know what I can share. I'm just like, I don't know the Bible nearly as well. I'm still such a rookie newbie Christian. I just don't know if I can do that. I am totally not confident in doing that." And the problem is, and here's the thing, it's the little things in life that we get to share. There's two aspects of learning as a team, right? The first one is the coach. The coach gives us the general understanding of how to play the game. He gives us all the different things, and then he teaches us how to play the game, right? But there are so many little things, so many small little details that the coach isn't able to share uniquely with each individual player. And this is where the players work together. The players come together and say, "Hey, I can help you with this part because I kind of figured this part out. Let me walk this through. Let me show you how this is done." This is like those real small things. Like take two steps to the left and you'll cover that base a lot better. Or hold your glove this way when you try to catch a ball. Or when you swing, this is what you're looking for. Or choke up on the bat or choke down on the bat. These real small things, these little minute details. This is what we as brothers and sisters in Christ, in the church family, get to share with our brothers and sisters. It's literally walking and showing them, hey, when I walk through this area of life, this is what I had to watch out for. And so I want to let you know about it because this is going to be a potential problem for you too, because it was for me. And I want to help you walk through that. These are the kinds of things that every one of us as brothers and sisters in Christ have the experience of walking through life as a brother or sister, as a follower of Jesus, right? You get to be part of that. This is an actual opportunity that you have in investing in a brother or sister in Christ. Yes, you should watch and learn, but yes, you should be showing those around you what it means to live life. And this is literally why Paul sends Timothy to the church family in Philippi. Why? So that they can have one more person to watch and learn from. But also Timothy, a person who was able to show others because he also watched and learned. Before I close, though, it's important that we talk about this. If you are not a Christian yet, your first step in any of this aspect is your first step is to join the team. Your first step is to trust in Jesus. And there's only one way you can join the team. And it is not by how well you live. It's not by showing how dedicated you are. There are no tryouts in the Christian team. You actually get on the team the same way everybody else does. You literally just ask Jesus. Jesus, can you let me be on your team? I want to grow from you. I want to learn from you. You ask Jesus to let you on the team. You ask Jesus to save you, to forgive your sins, and to give you a new heart. And Jesus will do just that. He will change you. He will give you a heart that is changed. And then, as one who is on the team, He starts to do an amazing work in your heart, changing you from the inside out, helping you to live a life that is glorifying to God, restoring your relationship to your Heavenly Father, giving you freedom from the bondage of sin. All of this Jesus does. Ephesians 2 tells us this. In Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, he literally, this is what he says. He says in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith." Here's what that means. If you have enough faith to ask Jesus to put you on the team, by His grace, He will put you on His team. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. There's no trials. You don't have to try to work for being on Jesus' team. Verse 9 says, "Not of works, lest any man should boast." This is helpful for us because as we live life, nothing happens because of us. It is only because Jesus enables us to do what? Verse 10, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." God gives you opportunities to show others how to live the life as a Christian. He gives you those. He's prepared them for you. Trust Him. Put your faith in Him enough to go out by faith and say, you know what, I want to invest my time in a brother or sister. Hey, let's go grab some coffee. Let's go get together and do some things together. It's so helpful for us to do these two things and to be reminded of this consistently in our day-to-day life. Are you watching and learning? Who are you watching and learning from? And are you showing others? Who are you showing others how to live in humility, in unity, how to live as a team player? These things are ways in which God allows us as a team to grow and grow and grow through. So let's take advantage of it. Let's take that opportunity. Let's fulfill that responsibility of watching and learning and showing others.